The Tangent Egg Podcast is aimed at a mature audience. It contains themes that are not appropriate for all listeners. It's important to note that we are not experts. We routinely have no idea what we're talking about and are just three idiots sitting around a table. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Tangent Egg Podcast. I'm Seth, and as always with me are Swoosh and John Doe.
Hello.
Hi.
Right, so I'm going to start out by... Let's face it, I'm going to glaze Linux a little bit right now. So as we were talking about this last week, that I was going to try switching over to Linux instead of using Windows, because Windows is turning into an AI-filled pile of garbage.
It is.
And yeah, I've been on it about a week now. It's been pretty fucking good, quite honestly.
In the preamble, you were showing us some of the features. I'm kind of keen to try it now. Like, goddamn. Like, I wish my Windows had that level of customizability and a lack of AI bullshittery.
Yeah, I know, right? So I switched over from Windows to Linux Mint using the Cinnamon desktop. It does have three different desktop environments you can use, but I just went with my friend, who's Linux admin, suggested that I go with that one. And I think it was a good call. I've used Linux Mint a little bit when I tried to switch over the first time. But the first time I didn't have anyone to ask questions of if I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. So it didn't end up sticking. But this time being able to be like, hey, what the fuck's going on in a quick text message and then get a response back about how to fix it. It's been much, much, much smoother.
You know that when we change over, you're going to be like on-call tech support.
Yeah, I know the same friend, so I'm probably going to harass them. Like, hey, buddy.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been pretty overall painless. The biggest issue is that me and that friend don't hang out a super large amount, so we spend 6 hours talking more than setting up my computer, so there are a couple of things that weren't done when they left, but I have since either talked to them or managed to fix it myself. I'm pretty sure if I sat most people down in front of my computer right now, they, except for the fact that, like, the icons are different, they probably wouldn't have much trouble using it compared to a Windows environment.
You have an actual start menu. I am beyond jealous.
I know, right? No ads in it either.
Oh, God. It reminds me of the old, like, XP of start menu. I'm like, oh, that's all I want. That's everything I hoped for.
Or probably closer to a 7, like Windows 7 when you, what was it? There's some software you could use to add like a couple of features to the Windows start menu, and it looks like that. Or start 7, I think it was, or it might have been start 10. I don't know. It looks good.
It works super well. It came with a bunch of stuff that's just useful straight out of the box. Like, I didn't have to install Libre. That was already here.
Nice.
The software manager they have is super easy to use. You can update it with additional libraries, much like the Docker server you have that I built for you, Swoosh.
Yeah.
Works like that. Just add additional repositories and cool, go find more software. Can install all of it for you. If you have to get software from somewhere else, like, unfortunately, I had problems with the Steam version that's in the software manager.
Hmm.
It's designed to be kind of function over, like, whatever Linux distro you're using, but Valve actually makes a specific Steam installer for Linux Mint. So I just went to their website, got their native Linux Mint installer, downloaded it, and then just told the package manager to install it for me.
I'm so happy Steam is, like, narrowing towards Linux as a thing. Like, I'm just happy.
Windows really has to be fucking, like, a nurse.
They're going to be panicking at this point. Fuck.
I mean, the thing I love most about the fact that it has this package manager that handles everything is when new updates come out for that software, I can just do it all in one click. And that includes updating the OS.
That's too easy. I need this.
So instead of having to be like, do I have the latest version of this software? I can just go to the update manager. Oh, there is an update. Just fucking do that.
Yeah.
Or don't do that.
Sure. You can just choose not to. It's pretty good. Like, the biggest hurdle for me was the fact that Linux gaming wasn't as great as it could have been, but that's, like, very quickly changing.
Yeah, so. I mean, I've been running a few new games. Like, I've run the new Digimon game on there. Just that's straight out of Steam. So Steam Proton's running that one. That was completely painless. I've run new indie stuff. I've run plenty of other little games off of there. I do buy a lot of my games on GOG, and there isn't a GOG native installer for Linux, but there is Lutris, which is essentially a program that handles all of the Wine configuration stuff for you. And that has GOG integration, so I use that, and I ran Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines under that, and that worked fine. I also ran a really old game called Legacy of Kain Blood Omen, which actually ran better.
Without the Windows lamp. Float slowing it down.
I mean, I'm a Linux noob, so take everything I have to say with a little grain of salt, but from what I understand, it's basically Wine is just emulating a Windows an old Windows environment better than the stupid compatibility layer that Windows uses. So, it's better Windows than Windows in that regard.
We need to start, like, checking in every week with the podcast, like, how's Linux going? And just one day you might eventually break, like, I can't do it. I have to go back to Windows.
I mean,
I don't see that happening for a while.
Yeah, right now I can't. Look, unless I decide I really want to play something like Battlefield, I just can't see myself going back.
Yeah.
I know I've only been on it a week and I haven't, like, had a, like, really had any, like, the video editing software I've been using for this show. Doesn't work. Doesn't work on Linux. That's not surprising. It was a pretty niche little piece of software I got out of a Humble Bundle some point. So I'm not married to it. And there's a native video editor that I got on Linux already. And I edited last week's video episode using that. It worked fine. It might see the might play change a little bit until I figure it out. I might do a more basic version of it for a week or two. But the intent will be to get it to essentially what it has been for the past couple of years. But yeah, like, that's the only thing I've run into that it's like, I just cannot get it to run on Linux. Is one piece of software that I'm not married to. Everything else runs on Linux.
That's a pretty good success story then.
Yeah, friggin' oath. Fuck. You mentioned MightPlay before. We all know what Seth's been playing this month. It's fucking Linux.
Yes, his game of choice has been Linux.
Yeah.
Look, I've wanted to make this switch for so long, and the current state of Windows 11 pushed me to do it, and having someone that I could use as on-call tech support. I genuinely think a lot more people should seriously think about trying Linux.
You at least have one less corporate listening device in your house.
Yeah. Assuming you get, like, a trusted distro.
Yeah, yeah.
There is stuff like what is it, Nyarch? A fork of Arch Linux that's designed for degenerate weebs. And it has stuff like, it has an application installed by default that just scrapes the internet for pictures of catgirls.
That's terrifying.
It's not a serious, like, fork of a distro, but, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if you stick to stuff like Ubuntu, Linux Mint, that sort of stuff, I think you'll probably be fine. Again, I can't speak from a huge amount of experience. I'm only just starting my own adventure with Linux. But it has been way easier and less painful than I thought it would be.
Nice.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
The thing I was trying to say, I think it's a lot easier to use than I think a lot of people think it is. And if you've ever launched an application using a DOS prompt or a command prompt, you can use Linux. If you've ever done a regedit in Windows, you can use Linux. It's not that scary.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty user-friendly at this point. Depending on, again, which distro you use, because some distros don't have a GUI. They're just the terminal. But that's part of why I specifically went with Linux Mint. It's got a really good, really Windows user-friendly GUI, which made the transition even easier.
It's one of the things I've heard about Mint. It's one of the really good starter, you know, access points for Linux. It's like you have aspects of something you know, and then you can learn the rest and improve from there.
Yeah. Because like the person who set this up for me, they use Linux Mint on their just basic use computer, but their main machine runs Arch Linux, which requires a lot more terminal knowledge and to do stuff on that. But that's their computer for doing more of their admin server type stuff, and they do a lot of that sort of thing. So they know a lot more about how that works. They use a more that focused distro. Me, I'm here to game and watch you do.
Pretty much, yeah. That's
I was reading a thing the other day, an article where Windows used to be like that. For the power users that want all that little macro, being able to get in and make any changes they want, do anything they want, do anything. Windows used to be like that. And now it's taking straight down almost a Mac focus of like, no, we'll do everything for you. And now in our ecosystem, that only obey what we do. Which is causing the old power users to do the switch. And it looks like there's more of them than fucking Windows thought.
At this point, I can only imagine they're at least sweating a bit, especially with Steam pushing a Linux-based gaming platform coming soon for them.
Fucking oath.
And I'm surprised that they're not just clamoring after them to try and get access to it early.
What company was it? It was one of them that's like literally begging Steam to just release the OS.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It was Microsoft.
Oh, it was Microsoft. Nice.
A former Xbox exec is basically just going, please, just give us the OS.
All I want from Microsoft is for them to stop hamstringing the gaming division. Like, they give them the dumbest targets, and then they shoot them in the foot. It's now run! Go!
I mean, like, right now, the rest of Microsoft is fucking over the Xbox division because they're about to be like, oh, we need to increase the price on the Xbox again.
Mm. Yeah, this is the third time
they've had to do it this year.
Yeah.
Because of the RAM shortage.
Which is they're making worse because they're funneling funds into AI research, which is where the RAM is all going.
So they're basically like funding a thing that is fucking over their another arm of their own company.
Yeah,
it's almost going to take the RAM like developers or the companies that make RAM to do the same thing they did with fucking graphics cards and do an AI focused RAM.
Yeah, or just like make a RAM based on like you can't use this for AI like. Just not like the same way they did for crypto mining, where it's like, it's not beneficial to use these. We've made this thing over there.
Yeah, but the when they did it with graphics cards, the lockouts were easily bypassed, and while the mining specific cards were better, they weren't enough better to stop them using normal ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the problem you'll run into with the RAM though is RAM is just kind of RAM.
Yeah.
It's not really something you customize for doing AI stuff with, as far as I know. It's just a type of memory. It doesn't have like the GPU side where it's got to have specific chip layouts for doing it. Like, I could see maybe like a hertz rate thing, maybe, but like, it's like RAM chips are RAM chips, as far as I understand it.
It's one of those things where I'm already having to fight scalpers and bullshit for a new graphics card. I don't want to have to fight fucking IT bros for RAM as well.
Yeah.
That's just the price jump in RAM is terrifying. Some of it's like gone up like, 400-500%?
I mean, a lot of that's all based on America stuff, so I'm literally opening up UMart right now. Just have a look, like, what are they actually selling RAM for? Desktop computers.
It's just... I hate the AI, like, tech bubble bullshittery, and as bad as it will be for everyone involved, I do hope it bursts soon, just so we can go back to some form of normalcy.
So in Australian dollar dues, 64 gig of RAM will run you almost $900.
Jesus, okay.
Fucking hell.
That's not fun. But yeah, it's. I'm very glad that my computer, I relatively recently updated it.
Yeah.
So it's like, it'll last for a few more years yet before I have to start replacing shit. And hopefully by then, we have found a way around or done something better.
Well, hopefully the fucking air bubble pops and they can all just, you know, go fuck off.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be interesting when it does pop. There's a couple of big companies that might actually go under for that. So, yay.
I mean, like, there are RAM packs on here of, you know, 48 gig sticks, which are over a grand.
Jesus.
Two 32 gig sticks will run you 1,500.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, it's all pretty fucked.
All of it to run essentially a auto reader that can barely do its own job. And then hallucinates and gives you wrong information.
Yeah. It's a whole bunch of investment into a system that's basically balked.
It's dumb.
At some point, there has to be that call of like, okay, we need a return on this. Like, we've sunk so much in, we need to get this back, and it's not fucking there yet.
Like, well, we start to see that because every so often the market will shake because everyone's just sitting there going, we haven't got anything back yet. I'm going to stop giving money in this sector, and that will, you know, unfortunately, they'll short the stock. And it's just like, they're waking up, and this isn't good for everyone.
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, though. We've discussed this a few times. I think there's too many big players circle-jerking each other for it to, like, break anytime soon.
Well, basically all the crypto bros who made a shit ton of money from crypto then focused on AI to try and make a shit ton of money. So hopefully it's like a natural equalizer where they lose all their money from crypto by sinking it into AI and then the bubble pops, and they're just normal people again.
I don't know. I've seen enough docos on fucking crypto bros that I don't think that's how that's going to work.
Yeah, no, they'll just start scamming. No, they'll sell a course on how to use AI for things. That's how they always do things. They always sell a course.
Well, yeah, because that's when the only time you see these people selling a course is when the scam isn't working anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's one of those, I think CoffeeZilla puts it the best way, which is essentially it's, if you're making a shit ton of money using an exploit, why would you ever tell anyone about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, it's the exploit's been closed and they just want to try and cash in on people dumb enough to believe it's still functioning.
The exploit's been nerfed that much that it's not fucking worth doing what you were doing. That now you get more money from telling people, oh no, you could do this. See, you tried. It might work for you.
That's why all crypto bros try to become influencers.
I remember there was a really good video done by Falling Ideas on what he called contrapreneurs. which it just, the one he did was these two guys who were selling a course about how to make money selling audiobooks.
Mm.
And it's basically three grifts in one.
Oh, wow.
So grift one is selling you this course because it's stupid, and it's not really going to work, and it's dumb.
Yeah.
Grift 2 is the grift that they're selling you on, which is this idea that you essentially go onto Audible, search for popular tags, and then go get someone to ghostwrite that book for you, and then you pay someone as little as possible to reread it as an audiobook, and then upload it to Audible. And theoretically, because you've used popular tags, you'll be somewhere near the top of the search algorithm and are more likely to get a sale off of that. But there's a third grift in there where they're really in bed with this group of this company that does ghostwriting. And that entire company is basically just grinding people to write books for them.
Oh, they'll switch to AI soon. It's fine.
I'm sure they will now. This video is a little bit old.
Mm.
But it's just like, it's such a grift, and it's so obviously one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because they called it, made for you audiobooks. Like, you're making anything. No, you're paying a bunch of other people as little as possible to make something minimally viable.
Here's how to take advantage of them. First step, sell them a course.
That's exactly what fucking Disney's doing. They're bringing AI into their fucking streaming platform where you give it prompts and it'll spit out a show regarding your prompts. Like, after it, like, it has some very fucking tight constraints that you can't make fucking Rule 34 content.
Yeah, anything that might make their characters look bad.
Yeah.
But you can't make happy tree friends and friends with Mickey Mouse, unfortunately.
No, but you can make, like, your own AI slop TV episode.
Hmm.
And this is why I switched to Linux. Yeah.
The dystopia is dystopian.
Ugh. Fucking AI,
Actually, one quick thing about AI. Because I do a lot of this 3D printing and bullshit, I'm on Cults 3D a lot, and they recently added a no AI button, and I am so fucking happy. Like, the last few months, I just kept seeing, because ever since those websites or those programs came out, like, oh, turn any picture into a 3D render, the entire market has been flooded with these absolute bullshit models that do not work. They are riddled with errors that will just cause the print to fail. To the point where Cults has gone, you know, fuck it, no, this is hurting our business. There's a filter button. If we find you're using AI and you're, you know, not putting it forward, we're going to fucking get rid of you. I'm like, yes, thank you for that. At least they're drawing a line in the sand.
I like that.
Yeah, as long as they don't, in like a month's time, say, you can't use AI unless it's our AI, then I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, no, that'd be really bad. Kind of as bad as what kind of everyone figured out is the deal with Divine.
Oh, God. Like, everyone was so excited for like a week. So they'll bring Divine back. It's like, it's never going to be the same, guys. They're going to ruin it already.
So for anyone who didn't hear about this, a company is bringing back Divine, which is essentially the original Vine app. They've even got like a big archive of all the old videos from Vine, so it's going to be launched with all this content. And the big thing everyone was really excited about is that they were like, oh yeah, we're not allowing any AI content on the platform.
Hmm.
And people were really excited. Oh my god, a space where we're not going to be inundated with AI slop. And then people figured out that the company that owns them is big into training AI, and people in that area are big friends with Elon Musk and have been constantly talking about getting rid of IP laws and stuff to help AI.
And it makes sense they don't want AI there, because if they have AI in their training ground, it ruins the result. So they're trying to stop it going in there. Like, I hate this.
They bait everyone with nostalgia to try and create an environment that's better for training their AI.
I'm completely fine with people going through and using this Divine, but I want them to start using that fucking filter that poisons AI. Like, anything you put up, just use that filter on it. Like, fuck it. If you want to take my data, fine, but I'm killing your AI as I go.
But even if they weren't, like, training their own AI off this all this fucking data, there would have been other companies that just straight out started skimming it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they didn't need access to it. The video's already there. So no matter what you were going to do, it was going to end up training something.
Yeah, but when someone else is, like, skimming it, it's like, okay, you're a piece of shit, but at least the company I'm putting the videos on isn't.
Mm.
And then people figured out, oh, no, they're pieces of shit.
Yeah.
They're pieces of shit who are trying very hard to make you not see that.
If you think any corporation now is, like, anything other than a piece of shit, you're a fucking moron.
Well, like, the fact that they're saying that they have a bunch of content that they can release, start back up with, pre-shutdown Vine, where's that content going to go? Are you going to be creating and then gifting the original creators their accounts? Like, are you just going to have this on a Vine channel and then take all the views and money for yourself?
Like, I would assume on their own Vine channel, and given the fact that they bought all of the content from Vine, that would have no legal requirement to give it to any of the original creators.
Yeah.
It's still shitty, though. Like, I originally started watching people that I watch on YouTube, like Dad's Black and a few others, from their Vines, because they were just funny shit.
Mm.
And it's just, if they start using that content to just go, oh, yeah, to join the thing and make your own, and then, oh, look at this stuff. I feel bad for, like Dad's Black at that point, because that was his stuff.
Mm.
I know it's somewhere in the terms and conditions. They own it. Theirs now and all that shit. But it just feels so scummy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, like, when it was like, oh, yeah, this is just going to be, like, a background archive of stuff so we can get the platform started. Because one of the biggest issues that so many video platforms have when they try and kick off is that they don't have any content.
Yeah.
So we're like, we're going to do Vine again, and we've already got the Vine backlog, so we can start with a big pile of content. So you've got something to watch while people start creating.
Mm.
It was just nostalgia boot. Plain
pretty much. Absolutely. Like, it reminds me of why I hated... what was it? I purged it from my memory. Obsidian's Space One. Outer Worlds 2. It's like, oh, look at this horrible dystopian company, this corporation. It's like, it just seems like a normal corporation. This is too close to reality, guys. Mm. This is no longer outlandish, which is just making me angry. Like, this used to be Bond villain territory.
So much of, like, modern society used to be fucking Bond villain territory or fucking, like, the villain from an 80s cartoon territory. But holy fuck. We're getting to Austin
Powers levels now with the fucking Musks and all the others running around. They don't care anymore. I'm just waiting for someone to go full Scrooge McDuck and build an entire pool full of coins.
But you can't swim in it. It's actually a large number of small solids.
I love that they actually addressed that in the remake of the cartoon.
It's very specifically something only Scrooge McDuck and his relatives can do.
Only Louis. Only one of the nephews can do it. The others haven't figured it out.
Because he's the only money-focused one.
Yeah.
Seriously, if you never watched the reboot of DuckTales, watch the reboot of DuckTales. It's fucking amazing.
I mean, David Tennant as Scrooge, I was not immediately sold on when it was announced, but I am so fucking glad that he did that one. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
David Tennant is almost anything is going to be fucking great.
Pretty much.
But, like, he really did a really good job as Scrooge.
Well, it's great because he got to use his actual accent as opposed to pretending to be English or pretending to be American. So he just went full Scott. And I'm like, oh, you are so happy to be doing this. It comes through the voice.
Hell, I just like that they made all of the Huey, Dewey, and Louie very distinct.
Oh, yeah. Like, extremely. Not just the personalities, but their, like, silhouettes are, like, completely different.
Mm.
It's great.
Yeah, having Huey's the adventurer.
Louis is the guy who wants to be essentially rich, famous, hero kind of guy, go off and save the world, and Louis is, he wants to be Scrooge. He just wants the money.
No. Only one of them cares about the money, one of them's the scout, and the other one just wants to be a hero.
Pretty sure Louis is the one that, is Louis the green one? The green one is the money one.
Yeah, I think it's Louis. I think Louis is the green one. Huey, I'm pretty sure, was the blue one who wants to be he wants the adventure part of...
Yeah.
Of essentially Scrooge. Let's face it, they're all kind of like an aspect of Scrooge.
Yeah.
It's kind of the point. And then there's Webby,
which just is Scrooge.
It's just fucking ninja. But, you know, when you find out who fucking Scrooge was and who his maid really is, it's like, yeah, Webby makes a lot more sense all of a sudden.
And the butler making a return after, like, because I sat there for the first few episodes, like, where the fuck's the butler? And then he came back. It was very interesting.
Yeah. Nah, seriously, it was absolutely fantastic. If you liked DuckTales, really, watch the reboot. They did
Not just that, but they rebooted Darkwing Duck off the back of it. They're still thinking of rebooting Tailspin off the back of it, because the two episodes they had for that were great. It's just like, there's more things.
I don't think they actually showed up. They just kept referencing Cape Canaveral.
They do spend a couple of episodes in Cape Canaveral with Baloo's offsider, Kit.
He's an adult now.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
He's essentially, he's a washed-up pilot, and I love it. He's basically just Baloo 2.0. And then the daughter of the plane owner came back as a pilot for them. And that was the setup for the new thing. They just haven't released it.
Mm.
But also Darkwing and Negaduck. Like, we got those guys again.
And then new Negaduck was great. Seriously, we could wax poetically about this show for ages. It's really, really good.
It's worth looking at. It's great.
So, last week we were talking about the Roblox age verification system. We were like, how easy is that going to be to circumnavigate? Apparently, it's so easy to circumnavigate, you can do it with a fucking doll.
Yeah.
There is clips of people getting past. You don't even need Norman Reedus
in a fucking Death Stranding.
Like, yeah, I was going to say. Like,
There is videos of people getting past their age verification with a Bratz doll.
Yeah, it is bare bones. It's, oh, are there eyes, a nose, and a mouth? Okay, that's probably human.
Does it look like a person? Yep, cool, yeah. We're done. Like, that is not protecting shit.
That's not there to protect children. It's not there to protect anyone. It's just there to fucking scrape data.
No, no, it's there to protect their shareholders. So
we said it last week. It doesn't matter. It's performative. They're getting a lot of shit right now, so they're bare bones implementing something to show that they did it.
Yeah.
And given the fact that the CEO has openly admitted that he loves speculative markets and would love to bring them to Roblox, and for anyone who doesn't know what a speculative market is, it's basically gambling.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, in the interview where he says it, someone was, like, mentioning it in a bad way. He's like, oh, at least you're not doing that. Oh, I really like that. It's like, no. No, we're trying to tell you you're good for not doing it. Don't then beeline towards the thing. But, goddamn Roblox. I really hope that entire system folds.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
Fucking
nice. I really love it. There are many predatory game companies I would like to get rid of. Or predatory
but, like,
things.
But. They're top of the pile.
Yeah.
Freaking absolutely. Earth.
I will happily watch them burn.
Yeah, 100%. Right, so ChatGPT is getting ready to start serving you ads.
Using all of the data you've served it on a platter.
Yeah.
Like,
it's going to cross-reference all of your interactions with it, not just your current ones, to serve ads to you.
Because despite the fact ChatGPT kept saying it doesn't remember past chats, they have them archived.
No, no, it does. There's ways to access them. Oh, it's nice. Just not supposed to reference them in your current... this is a layman's understanding from what I've read.
Yeah.
It can access them, but it's like whenever you do a new conversation with it, it's basically supposed to be running sort of like a fresh...
Yeah, like a new... instance.
Yeah, but if they can keep that data to fucking train more bullshit from it, they're gonna.
And they have.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
The interesting thing will be, like, I have not used ChatGPT for anything except for fleshing out a D&D world. It's the only reason I've used it, and it's for bullshit things. Like, I need a name for a fucking inn. Do a thing. So the only thing it's gonna advertise at me is D&D shit, which I'm kind of okay with. I can just ignore that.
I don't know, just don't use ChatGPT.
No, yeah. I know that it's a bloke I work with, he can't go his day without using it. Like, lunch, what should I have for lunch today? Like, everything he does runs through it. It's like, why? Like,
so he's outsourced his thinking. His rational thought has been outsourced to his phone.
I just can't imagine someone asking it what to eat for lunch. I go out to the food truck and make a decision based on what I can see.
But there's a food court, like, not, like, straight down an elevator and less than fucking 50 meters away. There is a food court with plenty of options. Just, like, close your eyes, spin around, and eat whatever's the fuck in front of you. But
this guy works for the government. Clearly he can't make decisions.
Fucking hell.
That's horrifying. And I know that those people exist, but it's like,
It's creepy, though, to, as you say, outsource so much of your thinking to this.
Well, I always my brain always assumes that someone who has outsourced their thinking to AI is probably someone who's not, you know, embedded in a government or high up in a corporation. But that's where they are. Like, they have that weird disconnect from society where it lets them do it.
But it's also like, if you don't use it, you lose it. Like, the more you fucking give it away to this thing, the less you're going to be able to use it in the fucking future. Like, there's already reports of, like, massive, like, spikes in dementia in fucking people from the fucking early 20s.
Early onset dementia. Like, it's
I would just thought it was the fucking alcohol we drank and the dumb shit we did, but holy fuck, like, it's getting harder and harder to argue against.
Yeah.
Well, my problem simply there is also...
it's not been long.
Yeah, we don't have enough long-term study. No. Again, we discussed this last week.
Yeah.
There's definitely something going on. I mean, like, again, we discussed it last week, the state of kids going into schools these days where, like, they have trouble reading because they just get everything read to them.
Yeah.
My favorite of those was the Spanish teacher who's like, they don't know enough Spanish to remove the prompt. So they're just putting the thing in. It's like, oh no.
Oh damn. So Ubisoft is currently claiming that single player games are becoming less relevant in the live service future.
Fuck, they gotta be shitting bricks. Holy Jesus.
Like, it just reeks of copium. It's like, because meanwhile, the Game of the Year Awards is primarily the people they fired. So winning everything.
If anyone doesn't know, a lot of the team who made Clair Obscura are former employees of Ubisoft that left or were fired.
I feel like they're just doubling down because sunk cost fallacy at this point. It's like, we just keep making these on. We have to convince the people they're worth it.
I think it's because it costs a lot. I was going to give them the out of it costs a lot of money to make a big game, but then again, Clair Obscura basically shits on it immediately.
It doesn't have to.
It can. It can be very expensive to make big games. But they're, instead of making a really good quality product that stands the test of time that people love and will absolutely buy the next one, they just keep pumping out more slop and going, that'll do, and we'll fill it with microtransactions and that'll fix the problem. And we'll make the money that way. That's why they're so double down on this live service shit, because it's how they think is the only way to make the money.
The problem is they're saturating their own market with slop and losing that much trust that you can fill it with as much fucking microtransaction shit as you want. People will just stop buying it because they know that's all it's going to be. Like, and I couldn't tell you the last Ubisoft game I was excited for or the next one that they've even announced or maybe bringing out that I have any fucking hope for, because I know it's going to be a fucking live service piece of shit that'll just have be full of fucking microtransactions.
I think the last one was Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah, and that turned out badly.
But I know, even I got announced, burned. They said in that whole fucking copium that they, it's like talking about their European their girlfriend from another country. It's like, she's real. You just don't even know her. Like, we've got a game coming out. We just haven't even announced it yet.
It's going to be real good though, guys.
It's like since come out that they're a long way into the development of a Black Flag remake that they haven't officially announced. So it's thought that might be the game. But even that, they've said it's going to have our new RPG mechanics, which means it's going to be full of microtransaction slop and fucking XP boosters for a fucking single-player game.
Yeah.
And this is their second time of being told, make the pirate game, where they fucked up the first one. If they fuck it up again...
Oh, they already have. They've already said that it's going to have the new RPG mechanics in it. It's going to...
Goddamn.
Yeah. So any hope that people would have had, like, oh my fucking God, yes, doing Black Flag, doing what we wanted them to do. It's already fucking tainted. It's not the thing you were hoping for.
I don't hate the RPG mechanics.
I don't fucking like them. I'd like the original original Assassin's Creed, maybe Assassin's Creed 2, that trilogy. I'd like to stay at that style of game. I don't need another sword that has a slightly higher number than my last one. I don't need to fucking level up that way.
Black Flag, you have to upgrade your swords and
You do, but it's not to the point where...
They've already got some of that shit. I don't like the loot shit. The loot shit can fuck right off.
Yeah.
I've got a slightly better sword. No, go away. Just let me pay for an actually better sword. That's fine. I don't hate the RPG mechanics because I don't mind having some build variety and being able to sort of play my way. The loot system is garbo. That is the worst. It's just an excuse to have crafting materials because you're going to grind up all the stuff you don't want.
Yeah, I don't like that the RPG mechanics they bring into it, like from Valhalla, features that your character should have from the fucking get-go. And now locked behind XP and points.
I mean,
but at the same time, the fact that some of these characters can just do this stuff is also super dumb.
It's
yeah.
At this You're point, a pirate. There's no reason you should be jumping around like an assassin.
I if I want Black Flag, I'll go back and play Black Flag at this point. I don't trust them.
Yeah. Properly. Perfectly functional game still.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You just go back and play Black Flag.
You can get it super cheap on Steam, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, quite honestly, like, yeah, okay, I don't have an issue with the RPG mechanics. Like, I don't hate them. I don't love them either. I'm not sold on them, but I don't hate them. But at the same time, it's Black Flag. Guys, you want to you want to make money? Just upscale fucking Black Flag.
Yeah.
Just make it look nice again. Shit it out onto the market and everyone will buy it. I guarantee you, I will. I fucking love Black Flag. You can get the Gold
Edition right now for $60. That includes all the DLC.
It doesn't need any more than that. Just upscale all the shit and be done with it. Just spit it out exactly as it is. They've also cut all the like the real world character out of it. So it's just the pirate.
Yeah.
What's the point in doing the remake of the one time they actually made that shit good?
Oh no, I just want a pirate game. I don't want the assassin bullshit anywhere near it.
I've stated for ages I think they should get rid of all of the Animus crap and just do period pieces.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But Black Flag was like the one time they made it work, because that was the one where you worked for Abstergo as a game developer.
Yeah. It kind of made a lot more sense.
That was good. I actually liked that one. But like, it's the only time they've made me like it.
Yeah, like all the other Assassin's Creeds, every time you go back, it just feels jarring and horrible. Yeah. That was the only time I semi-liked them, because there's a bit where you're like on the outside of the fucking building to try and snoop on the guy. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm actually kind of anxious about this. But then I realized you can't fall off, so
yeah, that was fine. And simply because it's Ubisoft, I have so little faith in what they're going to fucking produce.
100%.
Yeah, we have been burnt a lot by Ubisoft. Oh, yeah.
100%.
And it's why I'm kind of really glad that the people they let go are coming back and getting their comeuppance on them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely kicking their faces in.
Yeah, like, it's... every time someone is complaining about... I just want to send the gif from The Simpsons. Like, stop! Stop! He's already dead! Like, it's... No. It almost feels like bullying.
No, it really does. It absolutely does. So, before we get into some fun stuff for this week, I feel like we have to talk about this thing that's going to be happening in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So, get into some actual local to Australia news. Apparently, the Melbourne CBD is going to start becoming, for the next 6 months, a stop and frisk location.
Yep. Just, fuck that.
Yeah, because this is an open for fucking abuse, Jesus.
Yeah, I know, right? In the CBD, they're going to be out of police are going to be able to randomly stop anyone they want and search them without a warrant.
It's not like the police force, was it Queensland, that just got fucking sued for strip searching a girl at a fucking festival?
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was a... I remember the incident, and she won that one.
Yeah.
We talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
I think that was Queensland.
This is so open to fucking abuse, like, holy Jesus.
Oh. Oh, wait, if there is just power, watch the racial profiling happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's looking bad. We make fun of America a lot, but every so often we have to focus back on Australia. It's like, why are we following the bad people?
Yeah, yeah. It's not great.
Which is worse is the fact that this is the lesser of the evils. Like, this is Labour. Like... The Libs, if they were still in, would have been doing... We would have had full-blown, like, Tony fascism.
I don't see there's any difference between any of them.
At this point, the line is getting a lot blurrier than it used to be.
There's no good party for anyone.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one out for anyone other than themselves in that entire fucking city.
Clearly, we need to start... we need to start the guillotine party.
I would do that within a second. You would not want me near the place party.
And just go from scratch. Like, oh no, there is a bushfire. Blow it that way. Oh no, they defunded the local RFS. It's gone now.
Now the problem is there's a
fire localized entirely within Parliament House.
Yeah.
So that's the only issue I have with, like, you can't direct a bushfire at them because they put all the good firefighters to protect them. Like, their where they live has all the money, whereas like the rest of us are burning. It's like, ah, we can't even use nature against them.
Well, that's provided they're actually willing to pay fucking firefighters, because everyone's getting cuts in the fucking in those services.
Yeah. Mm.
Ooh. So look, as much as it won't be long before fucking something happens.
Yeah.
Right, do we want to get onto something that might at least be a little cheerful?
Please.
That would be nice.
So, last week, literally the day after we recorded, Xbox decided to do their partner preview.
Bastards.
So, we've got a few trailers to go through. It's not a huge thing, but there is some interesting looking stuff in here. So, I will add to the show notes the playlist if you'd like to follow along. But first up is, what is it? Amartus?
Amartus. It's one of those things I've only ever seen this written. I don't know.
Yeah.
It looks pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, it's got a really interesting visual style.
Mm. Oh, I like the creature-y things.
Mm. It's got it looks very character action. When I first saw this, I thought it was going to be something a bit more Soulsy. And then it's like, nope, here, have a gun, go shoot stuff. Yeah,
I was going to say, like, I thought it was going to be Soulsy, but no, he just... It's kind of like Souls Doom?
Kind of.
In a way. Like, I can see Doom aspects, I can see where the Souls-like stuff came from. I'm kind of keen for this, I'm not going to lie. Oh, you got Oblivion Gates. It's, you know, that's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
and almost looks a little Soulsy Darksiders with guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a pretty sick armor. Like that
thing, yeah.
Oh wow, the shield of tombstone thing that just popped out. That thing looks awesome.
It looks pretty creative. I'm pretty keen to have a look at keep an eye out for that one.
Like I'm going to keep an eye on it just in case it suddenly turns into a looter shooter somehow and then I can just ignore it. Cause you never know at this time, like
yeah, I mean you're not wrong. Next up is The Bound, Omen of Cthulhu.
It's been a while since I've seen a Cthulhu game pop up. Or at least a decent-looking Cthulhu game.
Mm.
Is this like a four-player co-op treasure finder?
It kind of looks like it.
I'm not sure.
It might be a bit like Lethal Company or something. Like, go to an island, loot the crap out of it.
Or like the Left 4 Dead what are they fucking called? That style of game.
Yeah.
Like Vermintide kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm. The four player co-op stuff.
Which could be cool. It's an interesting
story. Yeah. I'll definitely be keeping an eye out on it.
Yeah.
I like Cthulhu stuff, so
I love the Elder
interest in that sort of thing.
It's funny, it looks like they get to the end and it rolls a
d12. Yeah!
The big Cthulhu d12. next up is the announcement trailer, if I recall, for the next Dave the Diver expansion?
I hate that I'm going to be buying this. Like, I haven't even seen most of the thing, I'm buying this.
Yeah, it's for the Into the Jungle expansion for Dave the Diver.
I love Dave the Diver. It is a great, chill game. Like, I'm getting this. The second this drops, I'm probably just going to restart Dave the Diver and go from scratch. And I will love every second of it.
I haven't played it.
It's so, so
I played it on my Switch, and that was the place that, yeah.
Oh, it's perfect on the Switch. But it's during the day, you go and do the fishing, so you can just free roam around finding fish. And at night, you serve sushi and alcohol, and you get people to do it for you if you can. But, yeah, no, it's that nice repetitive loop of make the money to get better fishing things so I can go explore more fishing things. So
fair. Next up is Crowsworn.
Are we swearing to crows? I already do
no,
that.
No, but it they is something like... I think you're going to play.
Oh.
This looks very Hollow Knight. Like, just the style it of it a little bit.
They're definitely cribbing Hollow Knight.
It's very... very fluid. If this is actual gameplay, then hell's yes. This looks like fun.
Theoretically it is, but we are watching a trailer, so grains of salt all around.
But like Metroidvania kind of Plague Doctor. Yeah.
I just looked at it and went, this art style, this is Swoosh's jam.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, this is going on the list. What is this called?
Crowsworn.
Oh no, Steam has just spontaneously opened on my other screen. Alright, no, I'm keen. This looks like fun.
Next up is Echo Generation 2.
Every time I hear Echo, I keep thinking the dolphin. Is that a DeLorean?
I mean, it certainly looked like one. Look, from what I can tell, it's some kind of, like, creatures getting out crazy shit, but the core system seems to be a card-based combat game, and I don't like those that much. I'm not saying I won't play it, but it's gonna have to win me over.
If I can pick this up cheap, then I will probably play it, yeah.
I do like the art style, though. The art style looks really nice.
This feels like six different people all picked their own favorite art style, all made assets in their own favorite art style, and they shoehorned them into the same fucking game.
Yeah.
And yet it works.
It kind of does.
Next up is the next thing from the Vampire Survivor guys, which is Vampire Crawlers.
The problem I have is mostly with the playlist we're using. It just said Vampire Crawlers coming day. I'm like, that sounds horrible. I thought that was the name. Like, oh, they've gone for the 18 plus edition.
And while I know I just said I don't like card battle games, I'm not going to lie, this looks really fun. I'll
play it. Maybe. I might give it a shot.
Next up is this is more of a brand thing than it is really a trailer.
Yeah.
It's for the new 007 First Light, but it's showing off the new Aston Martin they're using in the game. And I personally don't like it because it doesn't look like an Aston Martin.
Yeah. So like, look at that. It's not based on any of them. What are you doing?
No, it's based on the new one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But, like, car brands don't look like car brands anymore. They all look like generic supercars.
Pretty much. Every car has kind of turned into an amalgamation of everything, so now nothing is distinct.
Because I look at that car, and I don't immediately, that's an Aston Martin. It's just like, it's just some generic sports car.
Honestly, my brain went to Ferrari before it went to Aston Martin.
Yeah, I know, right? It's weird that Lambo is the only one that seems to have really retained its image.
You'd never expect it.
Next up is Roadside Research, which seems like someone threw a budget at one of those, own a supermarket games.
Yeah.
The idea seems to be your aliens running a roadside shop so that you can gather information. It's a silly concept, and I'm sure there's going to be some streamers I'll watch play it, but I sure as fucking not gonna.
Fucking hell.
I'm definitely not doing this. Like, this is something I'll happily watch someone play, like you said. Like, it's streamer bait, the entire thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, very 100%. Much so.
Although, and, I do like that someone's tried to put some money into one of those for once, instead of it being another, you got everything off Unity.
Yeah, instead of just being, like, generic Eurojank and weird, it's like, we've actually put some effort in. Like, oh, neat.
Yeah. Next up is Total Chaos, which is a game I've been waiting to come out and looked really good. I think it was on a previous Might Play, and it got bumped. But it's out now, and I do mean to get around to playing it.
It does look very Seth.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like
a lot of horror stuff. It's a shooter. Yeah. It's like my thing.
Yeah, and it looks pretty solid. Like, if that's the gameplay, then pretty decent.
Yeah. I mean, I will get it at some point. I mean, because I spent this last week getting to grips with Linux, I haven't really been looking into too many games other than the ones I was already playing.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I do intend to pick this one up at some point and definitely give it a look. And I will report back.
Nice.
Next up is Reanimal.
Oh, this is from THQ Nordic.
It's from THQ Nordic, and it's from the guys who got outed from Little Nightmares.
Yeah. I would have thought this was like a Little Nightmares.
Yeah, so the original creators got bumped from the company where they went, and Little Nightmares 3 has been made without them. Yeah. This is the thing they made. Which appears to be some kind of light co-op game. I don't know if it has a single player.
It's Little Nightmares co-op.
Yeah.
And Little Nightmares had a one you could just have a NPC with you, or someone could take it over, I guess.
Yeah, like the trailer doesn't say whether or not you can. It pushes everything like you're playing it co-op with another person.
Oh, yeah, no, it's got the tagline, go through hell together, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I might bait someone into playing it with me, but, like, maybe...
Switch. You could bait me into it, but it would just be me screaming. that's fine.
Next up is Erosion.
Ooh, jet bike thingy.
So, this is an interesting take on a roguelike. So, the idea is your daughter gets abducted and you need to go save her.
Yeah.
But every time you die, the game world advances by 10 years.
Oh, it's this one. Okay.
So, theoretically...
I very much like the art style of this.
I know, it's so cute and fun. So, theoretically, if you die too much, you get to find your daughter's corpse instead of her alive.
Oh, Reanimal has a demo out.
Oh, nice.
Add to wishlist. Yeah, no, this looks pretty fucking fun. Like, I love this concept.
Yeah. There's something about the art style that just makes me really want to play it.
It reminds me of those old Flash games people used to make back on Newgrounds.
Yeah.
Like, the kind of long leg pixely thing and
Like McPixel.
Yeah. Right, I'm adding that to the wish list. That looks like fun.
Next up is Zoo Punk, which looks really cool, but it's already got controversy.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah. They're using AI.
Oh. Gross.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. These guys are using AI for voices or, like, companion responses?
There's some voice lines that are apparently using it. We don't know. I haven't heard anything that gives, like, the full scope of what they're using it for. Mm. But, yeah, there is some amount of the voice dialogue that is using AI to generate it. Which is annoying, because it looks good.
It does.
Looks really
it looks
fun.
Yeah. Nice.
I love character cool action games. It looks cool. I like all the animal designs. They look really fun. Mm.
Yeah, the tech looks like sufficiently savage and futuristic.
Mm.
Once it gets closer, like the combat looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But as it gets closer, I can find out how much of it was using AI.
Yeah.
I will make my decision then, because I don't want to support AI, even if it means I miss out on something that looks good.
Yes.
So.
Like, if we find out that they're using an AI, but they've got some kind of, like a residual ghost, the original person they got the voice from or something, then I'd be like, okay, that's at least the...
Yeah. At least you're paying your
ethical way to do it.
Yeah. Because as long as they're only using it for, like, small, like, back-end filling voice lines. Like, you know, the stuff your guys will spit out when you're running around.
Which, from what I've read, is what it's being used for.
Yeah.
I think the big thing that, like, I think we talked about this before. I can't remember if we did. Like, there was another company that, like, built their own... Like, they paid actors to do the voice work so they could have their own AI library.
Yeah.
For doing voices. But we had no idea what the contract looked like.
Yeah. Mm.
If you come out and go, yep, we've like they get residuals like anyone else at the company, that's how this works, then I think it would be considered somewhat ethical. You paid someone, they're going to get repeat pay. If you use their voice for anything, cool. I don't think it will be that, but like...
Yeah.
At this point, that's the only way to really do it.
Yeah, they're going to want to be fully transparent about what they're doing with this, if they want to come out of this controversy, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Tell us exactly what it's being used for, how you've got it, how you trained it, and we will make a decision.
Yeah. The next trailer is just the Xbox launch trailer for Clover Pit, which is basically you just play a slot machine.
Yeah. It's exactly what
next one is a trailer that perplexes the shit out of me, which is the new mission for the Hitman World of Assassination, where Eminem hires you to kill Slim Shady.
What?
Yeah.
Feels really weird, because, like, it feels like both people in this are slumming it. Like,
yeah.
Hitman is riding high. It doesn't need a brand deal with Eminem to keep itself relevant. It's doing fine.
Yeah.
And Eminem already made his bag and basically cashed out. He doesn't need this shit. What the fuck is this?
Why are we... I
don't know. It's a crossover that nobody asked for or expected.
At this point, like, the only celebrity I can really see getting into games, or two celebrities getting into games in this kind of way, would be Henry Cavill and Terry Crews, because they're both massive gamers. Like, they're huge nerds. I could see them doing it. But Eminem is like, I don't see this. I don't know why. He might be an avid gamer for all I know, but I just don't see it. Oh, no,
he
is.
He plays games.
Oh, good.
It's just weird that the concept of Eminem hiring Agent 47 to kill Slim Shady. It's just like, what the fuck?
It's just going to be full of Easter eggs to the songs. There's already one scene in the trailer they shot spaghetti. Sure. It's like, all right, fair. I know what we're in for. This is fine.
Next up is Tides of Annihilation.
Is it low tide or high tide?
Character action.
Which is mostly a trailer of a boss fight, and I'm not going to lie, it looks pretty fucking sick.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how Black Myth got us. Like, one of the trailers for that was just fighting one of the dragons, and that thing's great.
Like, there seems to be, like, two dimensions that they can exist in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, there's two different characters. One seems to be controlled by the AI and can, like, throw stuff to you that you can use to break through areas. There's one bit where, like, the boss is underground. It's like it's like you're standing on a mirror and the boss is underneath and you're on top and you're still fighting somehow.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's super creative looking, like... This might be the new big character action game.
Yeah, it looks really fucking cool.
Like, once again, I might keep an eye on it, but this is going on the list of things that I'm kind of keen for.
Yeah. Where is it?
That's a funky looking moon.
Yeah, if you jump to 3 minutes, about 3 minutes four... It starts this boss fight where the boss is above and below the ground at the same time.
Oh, it's like and a it reflection keeps... and dying between... That's cool. Oh, I love the look of this. It's visually spectacular. And so far, the fighting seems pretty fluid.
Yeah.
Like, if this is what it actually is, it would be entertaining to play.
Yeah. It's definitely one I'm going to keep an eye out for and keep an eye on for when, to learn more from.
Who's making this
one? I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. It's probably at the start of the trailer. Probably just jump back. Eclipse Glow Games, which is not a studio I know of.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't
know. That's cool. Another independent studio making something that looks really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Like, you take the people who love making games.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you take the passionate people and let them be passionate, and you get something good out of it. Who would have thought? Mm.
And the last trailer is for Raja?
Raji?
And look, it's not in English. I don't know how to pronounce the name, okay? I'm technically a sequel. I never played the first one, but it looks really fun.
It's creepy. I like it.
It's using...
Oh, the way these things move.
It's using a lot more, Middle Eastern mythology, which I don't know. And, the easiest way to get me into your game is give me a mythology I don't know.
One that I haven't already researched to death.
Yeah. I mean, it's why, I don't hate medieval games, but, I fought every medieval mythological creature 19 times. Yeah. It's not that interesting to me. Oh, hey, I've never seen these sort of, demon monkey things before. These look really cool. I really want to check that out.
Demon bat monkeys are fun. The characters look interesting.
Yeah. So, apparently it is a sequel, but I still might check it out.
It looks really cool. They're also doing the duo thing as well.
Hmm. Well, it's becoming a big thing, so you can have a player have more of a maybe combat-orientated character and shift some of the support off onto a second character.
That is true.
I don't know, though. I am not familiar with the franchise. But it's got my attention, I can tell you that.
Definitely. I'm probably going to look into this one. That seems really fun.
Mm. And that's it. The rest of the playlist is just the actual VODs.
And then announcing a Xbox full screen experience is coming to PC and shit like that.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm already planning on buying a Steam box. Zero fucks given.
At this point, nothing that they could bring out was going to tempt me away from the GameCube.
The only thing that Xbox would have going for them is Game Pass, and I'm caring less and less about that, and the Steam box would have that anyway.
Every time that price goes up and we're not getting as many good games coming through it, I'm getting closer and closer to canceling it outright.
I already canceled mine.
Yeah. There's a couple of games I want to finish and then I'm going to get rid of it.
That's fair. But we're out past now, so I think we'll wrap things up with that. Y'all have a good one.
Bye.
See ya.